All right, guys, are you ready for Thanksgiving coming up? This is Thanksgiving week. Sunny, you sound like I can hear a house full of people, sounds like.
I have a house full of people for Thanksgiving that I am kind of hosting for the first time. And Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, so I am very excited.
Good for you. And you put for the purpose of recording this episode of the podcast, you put your newborn baby out in the backyard?
No, right? He's actually in the front yard.
Front yard.
Where it's also raining, but I can keep an eye on him right here, so it's fine.
Yeah, keep the dogs away from him. That's good. And Kalen Dorr in for Hogan Gidley. Kalen, you are in Kansas City, yes?
Yep, we're here in Kansas City. The bad news is Arby's doesn't cater Thanksgiving.
Oh, no.
So I've been doing all this training all year long for no reason, apparently. They tell me we're having turkey or something. It's outrageous.
Mm. And that is outrageous. At turkey instead of Arby's. And I'm in Leesburg, PA, just doing Leesburg, Virginia. I'm sorry, headed up to PA probably to do some Thanksgiving. It's bi-coastal, you know, both sides of the Potomac River. Mm-hmm. But we have an excellent, before we get to all of that, before the turkey and all that, we have an excellent guest to talk about because it's, you know, actually it's appropriate because Christmas shopping season is coming up. So we'll talk about that, what this gentleman represents, because this is the Line Drive Podcast. And with that, we will welcome to the show Michael Seifert, the founder and chief executive officer of Public Square. And I think most of our listeners will probably know what that is, but I'm going to read to you the tagline of Public Square from the app. We vet every business to bring you the best products from people that respect life, family, and freedom. Ditch the woke brands. Ditch big box retail. Start shopping with your values today. So this is, I don't know if they object to this or not, but basically the conservative alternative to Amazon. And we welcome the CEO and founder of Public Square, Michael Seifert. Michael, thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. So do I have that about right? That, and I don't know if you like to compare yourself to Amazon or not, or present yourself in that way, but why don't I just put it in your hands? Describe to us what Public Square means, what it's about, what's its mission?
You nailed it. That's actually a pretty good summary. We are a one-stop shopping experience for a network of Americans that have felt abused, antagonized, or forgotten for far too long. Major corporations continue to act more like government bureaucratic agencies rather than functioning businesses. And that has left ostracized millions of Americans who do not want to be lectured about progressive politics when they are just trying to buy a cup of coffee. If you try to go into any major retailer these days, it feels like you have to walk through a pride parade in order to get simple goods. And we're done with that. On top of that, you have online retailers like Amazon that will actually utilize your money against you. They will weaponize your dollars in order to sway elections, donate to highly progressive causes, and lecture you about climate change in the process. During COVID, that was the inspiration for us to start this. I've obviously witnessed companies go woke for about a decade now, but COVID was the straw that broke the camel's back because you had major entities like Amazon that celebrated and promoted lockdowns that hurt small businesses, while the small businesses were the ones that were forced to close. So Amazon profited off of the very thing they were promoting, while the actual businesses that make our country so special were left on the back burner, faced with the prospect of potentially never reopening in many cases. So we're trying to be a marketplace that solves this massive need in the economy right now. There's a lot of companies that don't like us, and we've created the largest network in the world of companies that do. We have over 70,000 business vendors on our platform that represent millions of products. We launched just under 18 months ago nationwide, and we have 1.5 million consumers already as active members on the platform. It's growing quick, and we're just getting started.
Wow. Man,
that's pretty
awesome.
Impressive. And so explain to me what the concept is of the this parallel economy, where I think that what I've heard you say, and I've heard others talk about it as well, is why do you want to spend money with people who hate you and your values? And so talk about what the concept of a parallel economy is, what it's a reaction to, and what do you hope to achieve with it?
Well, if you go back and you look at the 1980s, you'll see a shift that began to take place in the economy that was rather quiet. It happened behind the scenes, but today we've experienced the disastrous effects, and I'll point to some of them here in a moment. But this change started evolving from shareholder capitalism, where companies would be focused on customer service, the shareholders, their consumers they were supposed to be serving. And they wouldn't factor in a whole lot of other external stakeholders. Then the economy shifted from that towards stakeholder capitalism, which is the idea that companies should focus on other external stakeholders like the climate or marginalized communities or different social groups. What that ended up doing is creating ideologies like ESG or DEI, these economic philosophies, ESG standing for environmental social governance and DEI standing for diversity, equity, inclusion. Have led to the progressification, if that's a word, of the marketplace and the hyper-politicization of the marketplace, because you had the evolution of companies like Amazon, like Salesforce. Mark Benioff, CEO of Salesforce, calls himself the most anti-conservative CEO in the country, and he donates actively toward the eradication, of conservative values, even funding lawsuits against the former President Trump, canceling conservative organizations like Project Veritas. You see banks that will actually give out loans and financial incentives based upon the high ESG score of a company. And the marketplace has completely left behind shareholder value, customer service, consumer protection, left that behind in order to pursue the weaponization of their political views against their consumers. That's why you have folks like Mark Zuckerberg contributing $400 million to an election. That's why you have foundations like the W.K. Kellogg's Foundation that makes the famous cereal we've all known and have loved throughout the years. Even though if you're a parent, you should probably keep your kids away from Kellogg's. It's basically been revealed it's pure chemicals at this point. But you have entities like Kellogg's that are the third largest activist organization in the world in terms of their financial contributions to things like BLM, Open Borders Initiatives, the George Soros Foundation. So the list goes on and on of these companies that have weaponized their values against us. And it's created a need for a network of entities or a parallel economy of businesses that refuse to go that way, that refuse to sing the same tune as these progressive authoritarians. To make it super personal to us, in 2018, I learned that Starbucks was matching employee contributions to Planned Parenthood. I'm a very pro-life person. Our family is very pro-life. When I found out that Starbucks was taking my money and utilizing it to create an employee contribution program where they would match your donations like some sort of 401k, it was appalling. The only response that we were left with is we got to move our money elsewhere. I'm not going to fund abortion with a cup of a burnt coffee. Like, I'm done. So we needed a network of businesses, of coffee shops that would refuse to do that. This obviously then, and I'll finish with this, evolved to the COVID season where businesses would gladly infringe upon your liberties and freedoms. And that obviously created a self-evident need for a network of businesses that would protect your liberties and your freedoms and would honor those things. Hence the need for the parallel economy, hence Public Square. So at publicsquare.com today, we've created the largest solution of companies that are filling the needs in this parallel economy, and it's working. So when Target does what it does, when Bud Light did what it did, when Disney does what it does, we have these alternatives that rise up and take the new position as industry leaders.
You know, Michael, let me ask you this. For people that are listening that may not be as brushed up on what you guys are working on over there, what kind of criteria do you guys place on these businesses? I think, I take a look at what the left is doing, and it's genius in its own evil way, right? You've got folks like the HRC using these woke guidelines to influence what businesses are doing and so on and so forth. I mean, what are you guys, as an example, you know, I think the word on the street is, you know, part of the human rights campaign, criteria for getting an A rating or whatever is like providing transgender surgeries for, minors and those that are interested. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. So let me ask you, like, kind of what guidelines are you guys using? And they kind of, how can other businesses kind of help or join this fight, going forward to kind of create a behemoth? They've got the money, they've got the legacy, they've got all this power. You know, how we take them down, brother?
Well, you're right. The new battlefront is economic warfare. We are fighting an enemy, and it's ideological. I've seen progressivism absolutely decimate close friends. It robs your mind of any sort of ability to reason. And when you have corporate America catering to a segment of the population that is leading the charge for insanity, the only response is steal their profit supply, not through unethical means, but through consumer spending. If you can shift consumer spending away from entities that want to harm you and your family and your values, and would gladly throw you in a camp at the first opportunity, the only response is, well, I should probably stop giving those people my money. So when we have businesses that sign up to the platform, they're doing so because they're excited to connect with this network of over 1.5 million consumers that are passionate about their purchases and making sure that there's trust-based transactions. And the only way that we can validate and solidify and guarantee that trust is if we actually vet these business vendors. So when a business joins the platform today, there's a three-part vetting process. No matter what industry they're in, they could be a coffee shop, a restaurant. We had somebody last week buy a whole cow on Public Square. So you can find most anything you're looking for on the platform. And when consumers go and purchase from these different businesses, they know with blessed assurance that all of them have been vetted in alignment with our values. That's the first step. So what are those five values? Well, we as a marketplace, we're pro-life, pro-family, pro-freedom. We believe that these rights are God-given for everybody in the public square. And number one is we're united in our commitment to freedom and truth. That's what makes us Americans. Number two is we believe small businesses and the communities who support them are the backbone of our economy. We reject globalism and we prioritize the American economy. Number three, we will always protect the family unit and celebrate the sanctity of every life. We're not a company like Target or Disney that is going to indoctrinate your kids and then fund the demise of your children. That's not what you're going to find at Public Square. Number four, we believe the greatness of this nation and we will always fight to defend it. And finally, number five, our Constitution is non-negotiable. Government did not give me my rights, so it cannot take them away. We also ask businesses when they're signing up to not only agree with those values, meaning they're not going to spend time, money, or resource antagonistically against them. We also ask that they would commit to making or sourcing as many of their products from the United States as possible. For some industries, that's easier than others, right? And if I'm making apparel, that can be a lot easier than if I am a restaurant that has to worry about where my cups and forks and plates and things are made. But we ask businesses to do their best. And we've actually helped many businesses move their manufacturing out of China and toward our shores, which is very exciting. Then a human team actually vets the businesses. So we have an algorithm we run them through called the PSQ score that basically scrapes anything the business has ever said on the internet, as well as the owner of the business, and make sure that this isn't a troll. We then actually have human eyes on that vet for quality as well as values alignment. And then if all that passes with flying colors, that process takes about 24 hours, green button hits go, and it's live on the platform. That has happened for over 70,000 business vendors on our platform just in the last 16 months. And we've got a system, it's working. And so we're excited to crank this all the way to millions of small businesses that join our platform and validate the existence of the parallel economy.
That's amazing. Is awesome. Impressive. Michael, impressive. I have to say too, that I absolutely love that your first reason in doing this is in saying that you're very pro-life. I love that. That's my number one voting issue. That's my number one issue just in general. I love that. And I want to know kind of what you would say to someone who says, well, it's just one cup of coffee at Starbucks. I mean, really, is it really that big of a deal? What would be like the best talking points to say to someone why their money actually matters and why they should use their money to get behind what they believe in?
It's a great question. I would break down the difference of who I'm talking to into two categories of people. Number one are the folks who are passionate about life from a scientific or a political point of view. So the folks that are passionate about life or any of these values, frankly, from a political perspective, the easiest rebuttal to that comment is just recognize that you're voting every time you make a purchase. So the battleground is no longer just at the ballot box. That happens every 2 and 4 years. But the reason that George Soros and the reason that Mark Benioff and the reason that Mark Zuckerberg are so passionate about utilizing their corporate advantage to further their political views is because it works. They are banking on a network of consumers that are blind. They're banking on a group of consumers that say, what's the big deal? It's just a cup of coffee. It's just a swipe of my card here. It's just this purchase from Amazon. They're banking on you basically detaching the world of politics and economics. And they hope that you'll stay in that ignorance because they're not detaching those two worlds. They're very passionate about infusing their economics into their politics. And this is true of most of the major corporate entities that you see on a day-to-day basis. It's true of Unilever. It's true of Procter & Gamble. It's true of Airbnb. It's true of the big credit card companies. They want you ignorant. And so every time you're making a purchase, even if you think, well, it's just one cup of coffee, it's another vote for the people that want your demise. if you're looking at this from a more philosophical or a faith-driven point of view, like I'm a man of faith. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm an adamant Christian. So for me, this gets deeper. And if I'm talking to a fellow Christian or anybody that holds a Judeo-Christian ethic, I would point them to the book of Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 3:9, honor God with your wealth. If I am funding the demise of life and the eradication of the liberties that were endowed by our Creator, these certain unalienable rights that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, if I am using the wealth that I've been entrusted to fund the demise and the eradication of those very things, I am disobedient to my call as someone who is supposed to be advancing righteousness in society. I am not honoring God. I'm not honoring my convictions with my wealth. In fact, I'm doing the very opposite. So, long answer to your question, but when somebody asks, what's the big deal? It's just a cup of coffee. The simple answer is you're casting a vote. And any time that you're voting, you would hope that it's in alignment with your values. When do you vote? Yep, there you go.
I'm pure under conviction right now. I feel like I got goosebumps right now. I'm like hating Sunny, myself for going to Starbucks.
Well, I hope you have an account on Public Square then, Sonny. I'm interested. I don't have time to get into this and track this cow down that you say that one of your customers actually used Public Square to buy a cow. But later on, I'll talk to Kalen and ask him what he plans to do with that cow, because I'm pretty sure that it had to be Kalen who bought it. I wanted to ask you about the larger issue that creates the need for something like Public Square and other conservative apps that are like alternatives to other services that are out there, not just what Public Square is trying to do. But there's been, and I think I saw you weigh in on it on X, formerly Twitter, this whole business about what media matters has been up to the last few weeks. And they went hard against X and Rumble. What they're accused of doing, what Elon Musk's lawsuit against Media Matters says and claims, is that they rigged the algorithm to purposely put ads from giant corporations like Apple and IBM and stuff like that next to objectionable content, pro-Nazi content, that sort of thing, in a way that those ads would never have appeared if the algorithm were left to run on its own. And so Musk is suing them, saying this was fraud, basically. This was dishonest and deceitful. But the reason why Media Matters does stuff like that and writes stories like that is because they're trying to drive advertisers away, make IBM and Apple stop advertising on X and on Rumble. Rumble came out with a similar story saying that they got framed as well by Media Matters. You and Public Square are a pretty significant advertiser now, in a way, on X, because you sponsor Tucker Carlson. You are the first firm to step forward and become a sponsor after Tucker left Fox. So tell me what your philosophy is, whether it's your own personal philosophy or whether you see it from Public Square's perspective, about that, because that's a way that money is, you're talking about Starbucks using people's money to influence public policy and give it to a pro-abortion organizations like Planned Parenthood. Here's Media Matters trying to cut off funding from conservative sources that it doesn't like. Like they think X is conservative. They think Rumble is conservative. How do you view all of that? And what's Public Square's role in all of that? Just give me your general philosophy. How do you look at a skirmish like that?
Well, I think it's been an eye-opener for a lot of folks that have for a long time had the veil over their eyes and have not recognized just how distorted some of these entities are and just how much they hate your ability to speak freely. The reality is when X became X, when Elon purchased it from Jack Dorsey and the crew, Parag, who was the former CEO, when he purchased Twitter, turning it into X, it was a total crossing the Rubicon sort of moment, because so much of what we've learned about our political environment and cultural environment over the last 2 years never would have been exposed without that transaction. So it was the best $44 billion ever spent. Good examples. We never would have learned what happened with Hunter Biden's laptop. We never would have learned the extent of how much of a fraud Russiagate truly was. We never would have learned about all the sham that's taking place in these indictments against former President Trump. We never would have learned about the malfeasance that were actually happening at Twitter that Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger exposed through the Substack files that they released with their Twitter files series. So Media Matters has made it their sworn goal to basically take us back to an era where none of that was in the light. They want us to go back to this place where they control the narrative, their donors control what is said, what is not said, what is revealed, what is hidden. And we're just done with it. People are done with it. We have tasted the freedom and we're not letting it go.
Yeah, they're trying to eradicate yep. opposing points of view. That's what they're trying to do.
Exactly right. It's that simple. So don't think for a second that when they come after Elon, it's because they don't like Elon. They're coming after Elon because they don't like you. They don't want you to be able to speak freely because it threatens their hold on power. Elon is irrelevant, honestly. He's a great man, and I'm very grateful for the work that he's done. But he's a flawed human being like the rest of us. The reason they're coming after Elon and the reason they're coming after X is because they do not want you to know the truth. And so I think it's the really cowardly, frankly, of these companies to trust Media Matters expose at face value instead of doing their own research. Because had Apple actually done their own research and reached out to Linda Yaccarino, CEO of X, and said, hey, is this true? Was our ad actually placed in this location? Because you guys are taking screenshots, but you also brand yourself as a highly progressive organization with a vendetta against Elon. So just validating, is that true? They would have learned that it was actually very fraudulent. Data reveals all. And Linda did a very easy expose to showcase that that ad placement never actually happened. It's provably false. I run a software company. I can show you exactly where every single ad that's ever run on our site was placed, when it was placed, who it was placed next to. And it's objective. It's not subjective. You can't blur those lines. And so I think it's cowardly on the companies. I think it's totally par for the course with Media Matters. And I think the lesson for American people is when your enemy shows you who they are, believe them. Don't have this level of ignorance anymore of like, well, I'm sure they mean the best and I'm sure they're just compassionate. And I'm sure that they're not. They hate you and your values. They want you to be able to no longer be able to speak freely. And when they start involving the corporate boardrooms and the activists in the economic space into the mix like this, it goes a really dangerous route. The last thing I'll say, Tim, is that if you look at every single communist or authoritarian society that's existed over the last 150 years, they've all had one thing in common, especially in the early days of their rise. They shut off the economic access of people that oppose their viewpoints. If the world of economics becomes so highly politicized that companies can turn off your access and they can essentially weaponize their values against you, shutting off your ability to financially communicate in the marketplace, that is a bellwether of a very dangerous territory we're wading into. And so my encouragement to folks is recognize that sometimes the truth is somewhere in the middle on these things. With events as of late, it's actually pretty black and white. One side really doesn't like you and your ability to speak. The other wants you to be able to continue speaking. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the side that wants me to be able to speak freely. That's what we've learned.
Well, Michael, I know we're going to be conscious of your time here, but I definitely want to get, before you go, kind of a take on where you guys are taking, you know, Public Square next. If you're taking a look at kind of what Amazon did and, you know, the mistakes they may have made and what you've learned from that. I mean, should we expect, you know, Public Square, you know, brick and mortar locations coming up, anything like that in the future? What's your kind of grand vision for this kind of crusade?
Public Square retail is definitely in the cards. So Sunny Joy, I'm glad you mentioned it. We actually have, I did a long post last week. I don't think I might've done this on X. I definitely posted it on LinkedIn about how our vision for 2024 is to revitalize Main Street. For a long time, globalists have sought to kind of eradicate Main Street because they can't control it. And we actually want to revitalize the storefronts that make our community special. I remember I was living in a tiny town in California for a period of time called Etna, California. I lived there about 4 years. And it's this small mountain town of about 600 people. And there was this local community store where you'd get all your goods. You'd get your paper towels, you'd get your eggs, you'd get a soda fountain was there too. So you could get a snack while you were there. You'd get your pharmacy needs. So you'd get any pills that you were taking, the medications at that counter as well. It was a one-stop shop with local convenience at the forefront. And the customer service was unlike anything I've ever experienced. I think that there's a new American renaissance coming of a revitalization of those types of relational experiences in the marketplace. People have had a taste of what we can look forward to if Amazon owns everything. And I refuse to believe that that's what consumers actually want. I think people actually desire customer service. We've seen this sort of like Atlas shrugged environment emerge before our eyes where customer service is out the window. And I think people really miss it. And so I think you're going to see that Public Square is a key player in bringing back community storefronts and retail environments back to the people. I also will say that we're continuing to technologically advance in terms of the features that we offer to the small businesses on our platform so that they can compete in a technologically innovative environment. Over 99% of the businesses on our platform, out of the 70,000 businesses plus, are small businesses. So these are businesses that don't have lobbying power. They don't have hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to pull favors out of DC. They don't have a credit line with JP Morgan Chase that's $250 million to be able to build their new set of features for their websites. These businesses are salt of the earth. They're family owned and operated. And at the end of the day, I want to know that we as a company are doing our best to promote those folks. By the way, not only is this very liberating, it's also lucrative. This is a good thing for us as a company. If you just look at conservative voters from the 2020 election, it equated to $7 trillion of GDP representation. $7 trillion of GDP is the third largest economy in the world by GDP, larger than every other country except for just the United States and China. And no major corporate entities are talking to those people. We're going to talk to those people with lots of different services that we're excited to provide to them. Last thing I'll mention is that we're really upping our game with user rewards heading into 2024 and loyalty programs so that we can reward members for taking those high value action items on the platform. We just went public this past summer on the New York Stock Exchange. And so we're well sourced with capital. We've got a fortified balance sheet and can go build some incredible tools that we think is going to bless the parallel economy in pretty tremendous ways. So it's a bright future for Public Square. I only had the idea for this platform less than 3 years ago now. So it's been an expedited journey, and we're just getting started.
I'm looking at you now appearing on this podcast. Who'd have thought?
Right?
I love it. Glad to be here.
Oh, man. Well, Michael, I just want to say, before we let you go, I just want to say thank you for doing this. I mean, your courage to do it, your just willingness to stand up and go out and do this and give conservatives a place to spend their money where it is, like you say, going to people who don't hate them and don't hate their values. I was just sitting here scrolling through it, looking at the baby section. And I would feel so much better purchasing something from you than from Amazon. I texted a link to it to my family and I said, we're going to be using this from now on, because that's just what we have to do as conservatives. This is how we win the battle. We put our money where our mouth is. And I just want to say thank you for doing it and keep going.
Yeah, Michael, I was really happy to hear you mention kind of pharmacies, because I think that's something that really goes underreported, right? Walgreens, for example, has basically committed wholeheartedly to dispensing and handing out chemical abortions in their aisles, you know, if the FDA allows them to do so. So, I really appreciate the mission, man. You guys are doing the Lord's work, and anything we can do to help, you know, you call us up. We'll let you know.
Well, thank you guys. That means a lot. And certainly appreciate the support. Love it. If you check out the baby care section too, by the way, Sunny Joy, it's a great spot. You'll see we actually own one other company under Public Square, and that's Every Life. So if you see Every Life diapers, that is owned by Public Square. We saw a need for pro-life diapers because, believe it or not, every single one of the major diaper brands in the United States today is pro-abortion. So we thought, you know what, let's go create a pro-life alternative.
I mean, you hear something like that. It just makes you shake your head. Honest to God, how could a diaper company be pro-abortion? That's astounding. And not only that, it's just from a real mental contradiction standpoint, it's bad for their business, isn't it? to abort baby, which would be potential customers for diapers. It's astounding. So Michael, thank you very much. I had one other real quick question for you. When you talk about these other CEOs, you mentioned Linda from X Now, and of course we've talked about Elon Musk. You guys all know each other. There's like a CEO club, or like when you go to the airport, you all hang out in the same lounge, right? You guys,
not yet,
right?
Not yet. Okay. I will say, we've forged close relationships with other people in the parallel economy, like Chris Pavlovsky doing great work at Rumble.
Sure.
Tim Pool doing great work at Timcast and creating his own companies there. You know, we've got a lot of close relationships with the folks in the Trump team, as well as Daily Wire and some of the different organizations that have been big proponents of this parallel economy concept. So I will say it's the one issue that conservatives across the spectrum can rally on. And rally behind. It's been pretty cool to see the unifying force it is within the people that love our country. So it's pretty exciting.
And you guys have grown really rapidly, and I think the sky is the limit. Where I know in the off chance that somebody is hearing about Public Square for the first time during the course of this podcast, tell them how they can sign up, create an account, where they can find it.
Head to publicsquare.com. It's all free. You can begin your shopping just like Sunny Joy's doing. You can start to browse, find the goods you're looking for, and you don't have to create an account until you check out. And even when you create an account, it's free to join. So we're never going to ask you for money other than the purchase that you're conducting on the platform. And if you're a business, you can add your business for free as well. So we make our money from brokering transactions on the platform and from selling subscription advertising. We don't have to charge consumers to use it. There's no premium version you have to pay for. And we don't have to sell your data to make money, which is wonderful. So we're proud to serve these consumers, and we'd love it if you join us. PublicSquare.com is where you can find all about it.
Well, I think you've made Sonny's heart go pitter pat. I think you've created that.
You sure have.
Customer, right? You can tell. She's really into it. Well, my Michael Seifert, founder and CEO of Public Square, we very much appreciate your time, and we love your product. We love your company. We think it's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you all. It's great to see you, and thanks for having me on.
And thanks, Sonny and Kalen, thanks for being with us. And until next time, I'm Tim Murtaugh. This has been the Line Drive Podcast.